This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's word for our meditation is from Luke 13. I'm going to be reading that as part of the sermon later on, but I want the children to know that there's a children's devotion and to get them prepared for the sermon, and they can come up here right now for the children's devotion. It deals with this object that I'm holding in my hand. That's right. You can come. It's all right. It's all right. It's fine. It's fine. It's all right. Yeah. I know, it's a different way to begin. I'm sorry, guys. I know, it's been a long time since I've been up here. It's so good to be able to talk again, I tell you. I have in my hands something that really helps protect you when you have your good clothes on and you have to go outside and it's raining. Your mom doesn't want you to go outside when it's raining. Your dad doesn't want you. Your grandma and grandpa don't want you to go outside when it's raining because they don't want your clothes to get all wet. Can you imagine if his clothes would get all wet? That'd be so bad, so bad. Plus, then he'd be cold, and then the wind would come, and he'd get chilly. You know, you don't want that. And so somebody, and I don't know who, but it's a great idea, invented this, a colored stick. Right? Noah's smirking at me. No, it's not right, Pastor. Yeah. No. This is not a colored stick. What is this?
Umbrella.
An umbrella, okay? And so now this umbrella, this protects me, right? From the raindrops, okay? Just like this, right?
No.
You
have to open it.
You have to open it. Okay, there we are. You're right, I have to open it. Okay, there we are. Right?
No.
It doesn't do much good, does it? Yeah, I have to open up more. So what happens is, I got this really cool one, and when I press this button, I know, he's wondering, oh, am I going to get hurt?
Whoa.
There we are. Okay, come in here a little bit closer, all right? Can you come in a little bit closer? Well, come in here a little bit closer right here. There you go. Now you're all underneath here, okay? This is what Jesus says he is like. He's like an umbrella. And what happens when I said come close? You all came really close. It's really hard, but you're here anyway because you're underneath this umbrella. How cool is this? This is how you're protected. That's what Jesus says he does. When he lived and he died and he came back to life again, it's like putting a big umbrella over all of us. And all the wicked things that Satan wants to do to keep us out of heaven, it doesn't happen. Because Jesus has taken care of that for us. He protects us from all those attacks. That's really cool. And today you're going to find out again how Jesus protected us. And he's going to use a picture. Jesus is going to say that he is like an umbrella. No, he's like a hen. And I want you to listen in the sermon, see if you can hear how is Jesus like a hen. I'll tell you, it's kind of like being like an umbrella. Okay. All right. So now let's just have a prayer right now. Okay. Ready? Are we all huddled here? All right. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for protecting me from Satan and all of his attacks. Please keep me safe, just like you promised. Amen. Okay. Now you may quietly go back to your seats. And I'll wait to get out of the way so you don't get hurt when I put this down. There you go. Whoop. If you remember, we're going through the season of Lent, and that's a time 6 weeks before Easter. When we look a little bit closer at everything that Jesus has done for us, making sure that our sins are removed. And today you're going to find, and what you're going to be watching on the screen and listening in God's word, you're going to see a part of Psalm 23 come to pass, where it says that in the presence of my enemies, the Lord is able to protect me in the presence of my enemies. And you'll see there a wolf in sheep's clothing looking at you like, oh. Okay, what happens is when we're looking at the Lord and we're walking along with him to Jerusalem, we forget he is surrounded by wolves who wanted to just rip him apart. And yet he has absolute confidence in his heavenly Father. You're now going to see the Bible reading, and you're going to see it two different ways. One way will help you only if you cannot hear. Just at that time, some Pharisees approached, saying to him, "Go away, leave here, for Herod wants to kill you." Well, can't seem to go. He said, "Go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I will reach my goal." Nevertheless, I must journey on today and tomorrow and the next, for it cannot be that a prophet would perish outside of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. And I say to you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" So today we're learning about animals, right? Animals on the farm. Animals that you want, chickens. Animals that you don't want in your chicken house, foxes. We're learning about animals. No, we're not learning about animals. We're learning about how Jesus lived a perfect life for us, died a perfect death for us, came back to life for us. And what in the world does that mean in our day-to-day life? Ah, yes. You know, our Lord loves to protect us and guide us and keep us close to himself with his word. And Satan, he wants to drive you away. He will do everything he can to keep you away from the good news. He threatens to kill Jesus. He urges Jesus to panic. He tries to trick him. He tries to control Jesus. That's all coming up in this part of God's word. I want you to see how tricky the devil is. Jesus is on his way, and while he's on his way, an enemy comes and pretends to be a friend. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place, go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." Maybe these were secretly followers of Jesus. Maybe they were friends, or maybe they were just people who just didn't understand what was going on and why there was so much hatred against Jesus. Whatever the case, they belong to this body of Pharisees who do not have Jesus' best intentions in mind. And yet they're the ones that come. And they deliver this message that the king wants to kill him. Jesus is being tempted to panic. Herod has power to do this. Herod can order anybody at any time to lose their head and is gone. He did that with John the Baptist. No repercussions. What do you do with a leader like that in politics? What do you do with a leader like that in the world that you run into? What do you do with someone who has all that power and on a whim can hurt you? So he uses threats and he tries to get Jesus to panic and he tries to trick him. He says, "Leave this place, go somewhere else," as if he could go another way. I want you to see that the same temptations that happened when Jesus was in the wilderness, they're here again. There must be another way, Jesus. Do it the other way. Go away from here. Don't go the way of suffering. Don't go the way of death. Don't go away this sorrow. Do go away from here. Tries to control Jesus by telling Jesus what to do. I love how Jesus responds. He says, "Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow. On the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day. For surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem. You who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. God wanted to protect. God wanted to help. And they would not. They kept on running away. He sent prophet after prophet, and they kept on turning away from him. Does that happen today? Would people be that foolish today? Well, you know, there's a long history of people being stubbornly rebellious against God. In Egypt, 9 times, God said, let my people go. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die. And again and again and again, they rebelled against him. When they went to the promised land, God had waited and begged for those people to come to their senses for 400 years. And finally they said, we don't want you, God. We love these Baals. We love Ashtoreth. Those are the cool gods and goddesses. We can party with these guys. And so God finally sent Joshua and mowed them down. We have a long history of taking this rebellious streak in us and flaunting it at God's face, saying, I don't care what you plan to do with me, God. I want to do my thing my way. And what happens? We're the ones that get hurt. We're the ones that get ashamed. We're the ones that get dishonored. And God weeps. He's brokenhearted because he longs to gather us as a hen gathers her brood underneath her wings. I read a story about a farmer who there had been a, he had been burning some garbage and it got out of control. And by the time he got it all done, he was going through the ashes, making sure that everything was, all the sparks were out and things like that. And when he went back, he saw that there was a carcass of one of his hens. And as he's poking around, out come these little chicks. They'd gone underneath the mom's wings. The mom had died in that terrible flame, and the chicks had lived. This guy eventually went on to become a pastor, and he used that as an illustration in one of his sermons because he said, that's exactly what God is doing here. He's going into the fiery furnace. He's going into the flames on our behalf. And he is going to die. And those who take shelter in him will live. Outside of him, there is no safety. In him, there is complete safety. So, what happened? Well, he's the Savior, so he is fearless. He's not fooled. He's faithful. This is how our Lord is. He is fearless, and he is not fooled, and he is faithful. It says, look, your house has left you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What he did is he said, I'm staying on track. You are not going to intimidate me, Satan. Herod, you can try your best, but I serve my Heavenly Father who is above politics. I serve my Heavenly Father who loves me and who has promised that he will see me safely through so that all people will be rescued through trusting in me. And my blood will be spilled for them, and I will rise again, and I trust my Heavenly Father on this. Jesus is a Savior, and he is fearless. He's not fooled, and he's faithful. I've only been a pastor since 81, but I can tell you already that my life of faith is just so sad. When you look at it, if you're looking at my life of faith, Some days I'll have just a rock solid faith, and other times it'll just be so crumbly. Why is that? Why do you have those days when you just know that God is going to be there and he will protect you, and then you have other days when you're so worried you can't even see beyond the door? It's because you and I have this thing called sin, this rebellious streak in us that doesn't want us to have the safety of God, that doesn't want us to be in heaven. And God, for Jesus' sake, sent the Savior to have a perfect faith. When you trust in Jesus Christ, when he brings you to that knowledge of wonderful forgiveness and mercy that is just overflowing, it covers even your moments of weak faith. So you never have to wonder, if you're on your deathbed, you never have to wonder, oh, do I trust God enough? Is my faith strong enough? The reason why you don't have to wonder or worry is because you know the God that you trust, who stepped into history and he fought Satan on our behalf, and he stayed fearless in the face of the enemy. He did not get tricked once into going off the path to rescue us. And he is faithful to the end. And not just the end of the cross. He is faithful to the end of keeping his Easter promise and coming back to life again and ascending to heaven and right now praying for us. So this week, do that. Remember this faithful God, who is like a huge spiritual umbrella that covers us. And yes, you know, when we step outside the umbrella, we'll get drenched. And when God says, come in a little bit closer, don't hesitate, but go back in. Go back to the Lord who says, I love you. And he opened up his arms wide so we can all come underneath him. In Jesus' name, put aside your doubts and stay trusting him. Amen. And now may God's peace, which goes beyond all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.